It was kind of funny that Pastor Rod had shared. It's similar to that, what I felt the Lord kind of drop in my heart last night. And I was at the Lazarus yesterday teaching, and God really dropped in my heart about Nehemiah and the wall. And, you know, I was like, you know, I've studied it before, but I kind of looked back at it last night again, and I was looking at chapter 2, and it talked about, like, how Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to see the walls, to look at the walls. And he had already in his heart what God had planned for him to do. And, you know, God's dropped a lot of things in our heart right now. And we have dreams, we have visions, and he didn't just go around sharing it all to anybody. He waited until the right time. And when he looked at it and he saw that, hey, things need to be done here. There's things that, you know, we have to rebuild in our lives right now. There's things, like Pastor Ross said, that there's promises, there's things that the enemy is trying to steal. And I really feel like, you know, it can get discouraging sometimes, you can. And so I was like, you know, I was preaching to myself last night, like, come on, like, you know, you got to remember the word. And, you know, so I looked at it, and he took the men, and just as he was ready to do that, he said, I'm trying to find where I was. So they basically told them what God had, that the hand of God was which had been good upon him, and also the king's word that he had spoken to him. And he said, let us rise up and build. And they set their hands to do this good work. Okay, and I really feel like when God's put a good work in us, maybe it's for our families, maybe right now it's for anything right now that we're holding on to that promise. God has set our hands to that good work. And he doesn't want us to be discouraged right now. And, you know, at that moment, I won't say all their names because I'm not great at pronouncing names. A bunch of them basically laughed at them and despised them. And what is this thing that you are doing? They kind of like mocked them. You will rebel against the king. And, you know, it's funny how as soon as God puts something in your heart, as soon as he puts a dream in your heart, as soon as he puts a plan, there comes people or the enemy through them to mock what God is doing. And so he said, I answered them and said to them, God, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Okay, and so when we have to get like kind of like strong in our faith there and put the enemy back in his place and say, you have no right to touch this dream, because God has prospered us. What God has prospered us, no man can touch. Nobody can touch it. All right? And so I just kind of wanted to really, you know, encourage the body, because I know, you know, there's a bunch of us who have, you know, really had heavy hearts in this season. And just want to say that what God has put our hands to do, it's a good work. And not to be discouraged, not to give up. I don't even know if this goes with your message, but that's what I had to share.
How am I supposed to follow that? You know, before I start, I want to share a little bit of a testimony that happened a week ago Thursday. I got done work, and I called Erica, and she was on her way to the Lazarus, so I figured I'd ride my bike down to meet her. And I'm driving by, and her van's not there, so I figure I'd go to 7-Eleven, and they've got these honey garlic meatballs that are really good, so... priorities. So I go over there and I park my bike along the curb, and a guy comes out and he sits down right there on the sidewalk, and he looks at me and says, I'll keep an eye on your bike for you while you're in there. I said, all right. So I'm in getting my meatballs and keeping an eye on him, you know, and so I go out, you know, and then on the way in, the Lord told me to buy him a pop. So I brought out a pop and I gave it to him. I said, this is for watching my bike. He said, oh, thank you. So I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my meatballs, and I'm drinking my pop, and he says, he looks at the bike, and he said, man, that's a really nice bike. I said, thanks. He said, that could never happen for me. I said, why? What's stopping it? He said, my mind, the addiction. And I'm like, opportunity. So I said, you know, I said, what's the addiction? And I knew what it was, because when you've been there, you can kind of recognize the signs, but I wanted to hear him say it, you know, because Jesus is the name above every name. So I wanted to hear him name it, right? So he said, ice. I said, meth. He said, yeah. I said, well, 12 years ago, God delivered me from a $2,000 a week habit. If you can do it for me, he can do it for you. I said, but I've got something I want to give you that really helped me. Actually, it's the key to everything. It'll break everything that you want broken in your life. He's like, yeah? What is it? So I reached in and we got these Bibles. It says Hope for the Highway. It doesn't even say Bible on the front. It's just a picture of a guy riding a motorcycle. So I hand it to him, and he's sitting on the sidewalk, and he flicks through it, and he jumps up. He's like, this is a Bible. I said, yeah. And he looked at me, and he started to tear up. He says, I think you just changed my life. So I said to him, I says, you know, I said, do you have any kids? He said, yeah, I've got three. Man, this messed me up. He said, but I don't see him. I said, why not? Because you're not allowed. He said, no, they've got a really good stepdad, and they don't need me. So this addiction brought him to a place, he's living in hell on earth, because now the addiction has brought him to a place where he doesn't even care if somebody else is raising his kids. I said, can I pray with you? He said, yeah. So we prayed. Now, here I am in the 7-Eleven parking lot. I got my arm around this guy. We're both crying and praying. And I said, have you ever accepted Jesus in your heart? He said, yeah, I did. But my mom died a little while ago, and I kind of gave up on God. I said, can I tell you something? He said, what's that? I said, he's never given up on you. So I told him about the Lazarus and about where, you know, my wife was there. She's an addictions counselor. And he promised me he would go. So his name is Chris. So keep him in your prayers. I think if we all bombard heaven with prayers for this guy, and we just unleash ministering angels, something can happen, amen? But, you know, it really ministered to me that, you know, God took something as you know, just an object, like a motorcycle, and opened a door for me to minister. And this man was able to meet Jesus in a 7-Eleven parking lot. Amen? So, I mean, God can take anything that we have and use it as a tool. This is not even my message. This is a free part. I'm just not charging for this. But, you know, he can use anything that we have in our hand to open a door for us to minister into somebody else's life. Amen? So I wanted to share that with you. And even yesterday we were out. We were down in Aereo, and we were in this restaurant, and this young girl was there. Or was our waitress, and the owner came over, and he says, she's going to Africa tomorrow. I said, really? So Al, the other guy, Al Rupke, I mean, he's as bold as a lion when it comes to going after people for Jesus. And he says, so she walks over and he says, sit down. She's like, I'm not allowed to sit down. I'm a waitress. I got to keep working. He's like, no, we'll deal with the owner. Sit down. So she's like, okay. So she sits down and we start ministering to him, praying over. And I look over and Al's got his hand on her. She's not going with, it's not a church thing. She's just going with a group. They're going to do water treatment places and stuff. So I look over and Al's praying over her, and I can see tears running down her face as Al's praying into her identity, how much of an amazing young lady she is, how much God loves her, and he's just pouring this on her, and she's just a mess right there in the restaurant. So then I go to walk out, and the owner's standing outside. He's waiting for us. So we get talking to him, and Al starts praying over him. So then I walked up, and I said, I just really feel like the Lord told me to tell you that things have been stolen for the past couple of years, and God's going to start giving it back. And the man broke. He said, my wife died a year ago. He said, I haven't talked to my family in years. He said, but last week, he said, it's already happening, because last week my mom called me, and we talked for an hour on the phone. He said, and then 2 days ago I was in Chatham at a store. He said, and my brother walked in. We haven't talked in 10 years. And he said, and we're having lunch together next week to just try and start putting a relationship. I said, you watch, in the next couple of weeks, God's going to start doing miracles. So, I mean, it's all about being where God wants us in the moment. Amen? Amen. Like yesterday, he brought me to Robinson Motorcycles. And there was a brand new Road Glide there, man, I'm telling you. 103 cubic inch, 6-speed transmission. I'm thinking, this is a ministry tool, right? This is God. And then I turn around, amen. And then I turn around and there's a sign on the door. It was a word from God. It said, if you like it, buy it now. God showed up, but My wife's not as spiritual as I am, so she's not seeing it yet. So pray for my wife's spirituality. And well, like, we can. I really believe that every man should have a motorcycle. Every man should have a motorcycle so we can minister, but that's just a word for the women this morning. Grab that, Pastor Rod. Hang on to it. So I wanted to talk about truths this morning and not trading truths for lies. And, you know, sometimes I have to, you know, sometimes we do tell little lies. And, well, I lie to my kids. We all do. I know we do, and I'll prove it. Because how many times have they walked up and said, what are you guys doing in there? Taking a nap. We got to lie to them sometimes for their safety, right? So, and it's just done. All right, I'm going to see you later. If you're visiting, Jay's preaching next week, and you get some real preaching, but Jay's going to clean all this up tomorrow. There'll be counseling sessions slotted in an hour at a time. But we... sometimes we trade truths for lies, you know, and Jesus in Matthew 4, Jesus was just baptized, he's just getting ready to start his ministry. So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit led him into the desert to be tempted of the devil. Now, if you've ever been told that God will never lead you into a hard situation, you've been lied to. If you've been told that it's always God's path to be on the path of least resistance, you've been lied to. Because the Bible says that God is our ever-present help in time of trouble. So if there wasn't going to be trouble, we wouldn't need help, right? I mean, it's not rocket surgery. And so the Bible says that in you guys are slow, man. You just got it. You just got it. So the Bible says that in verse 1, that I'm trying to stay together. I'm just like lit right up this morning, and I don't know why, but it says that the devil brought him in, and he was hungry. He's been fasting for 40 days, so the Bible says that he became very hungry. It's pretty obvious. So the enemy brought him, got him to a place where he had his weakest state, and he said, if you were the Son of God, you'd turn this rock into bread, this stone into bread. And, you know, we all know that Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live on bread alone. But, you know, the enemy knows where to hit us. He knows where we're our weakest. And right there, he got Jesus where he was hungry, his appetite. And I've been there. I mean, we've all been there. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I need a Mars bar or something. You know, I got to get through here. But he hadn't eaten for 40 days, and the enemy brought him, got him to that place. And he said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. So then the enemy turns around, and he brings him to the highest place in Jerusalem and said, "If it is written that if you jump off, that God will give his angels charge over you." I mean, the enemy quoted Scripture perfect. Word for word, he quoted Psalms 91. And but then Jesus, this blew my mind. I was listening to a podcast, and then I got reading it, and this part blew my mind because I'd never seen it before. Jesus said to him, but it is also written. See, there's always two truths, right? There's the truth of where you're at right now, but then there's the truth of what God is saying. So the truth was, yes, he will give his angels charge over us. But God says, Jesus said, I've got a truer word than that. And he brought him, and he told him, you know, this is the truth. Yes, I mean, we've all dealt with truth. We've all dealt with, you know, you've got that diagnosis from the doctor. You've got that word that something's going on. I mean, you know, I got a call from my son that he'd commit suicide. That was the truth. But the truer word was that the word that is in my mouth will be in my son's mouth and my son's son's mouth. You know, we have a words that we can live on and promises from God that no matter what the enemy tries to do, we've got a truth that's over top of that that cancels that word out. Amen? So he knew where he was. But you know what? Jesus also knew his identity because 40 days before that, He was baptized, and God said, this is my son. First John the Baptist gave him a word, said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And then the Heavenly Father confirmed it. He said, this is my son, whom I am well pleased. And you know what? He said that before Jesus done anything. He was pleased with his son before he'd done anything in the ministry. And you know what? That can go for us with our sons. You know what? Like, my kids don't have to do anything for me to be proud of them. Nothing. I said to Hannah the other day, I said, I'm proud of you. She said, for what? I said, just for being you. You're amazing. And, you know, I build up my kids all the time, but, you know, Jesus knew who his identity was in. He hadn't traded for the lie of where he was, because, I mean, he was perfect all the way through. But how many of us will, when somebody speaks something positive over us, will turn around and say, yeah, but you don't know what I did yesterday. Or you don't know what I'm going through right now. But God always sees the finished product. Amen? I'm drying up. There you go, living water. You know, and going back to the stone, you know, the enemy will always try and get us to make something out of something that it's not supposed to be. That rock was never supposed to be turned into bread, but you know what? We do the same thing with things, relationships. You know, how many times have we had, I'm not just talking about, you know, opposite, but I'm talking about, you know, relationship, friendships that, you know, we strive and we try and keep going, but it was something that God just put in our life for a season and the time was up and we were supposed to move on. And we try and turn something that was not into something that we want it to be. Right? You know, money is not supposed to be our source. It's supposed to be something that we just use, but God is our source. My job is not my source. God is my source. God gave me the job and I have to steward it. I have to show up and go to work, but that's what we're supposed to depend on is God. I've got 4 pages of notes, Jay. 4. This has never happened in my life. We're here till like 3 o'clock, I'm promising you. It's going to be awesome. There might be 3 people left here with me, but that's okay. We'll see who's really hungry. There's 3 left. Oh, you know what? I've already gotten through most of these, so it's all right. We're good. You know, the devil loves to take scripture, twist it, and use it out of context. So he's not telling us a lie. He's telling us a truth, but it's a truth out of context. So it's confusion. It's a lie. The Bible says that he's the father of lies, right? You know, but when we see what God is saying, you know, to what the what he's saying, and we find that real truth, there's 2 truths. There's the truth of my situation, and then there's the truth of my revelation, right? And it's the revelation that we get from God that holds the water, that holds the weight. You know, the Bible says, I love what you were saying, you know we can look at it, you know, the truth is, yes, we're sick, but he's the healer. You might be broke, but he's rich. We might be lonely, but we're not alone. Amen. He's always with us. Weak, but he is strong. Paul says, we are pressed, but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Everything we need is in God. Because it says that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or hope for. So, I mean, if we're not believing for something that is bigger than us, we're not believing big enough. Because if it's something that we can do, we don't need God to do it. But I really believe that it's in the glory I'm supposed to have that road glide. I'm just saying. But so I take PayPal cat. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we have to fight. And, you know, like I was saying last night, a lot of the fighting we do is through worship, through spending time with God. I mean, when you know, when I got that call from DJ that you know, he'd tried to commit suicide, and I just sat in the truck and I just cried. I called Erica. I just sat and I wept, and you know, right away the enemy starts to bombard me. Well, if you were a good dad, this never would have happened. And tried tearing me down. And I called Erica, and Erica, for, I think one of the first things Erica said is, "Honey, this is not your fault." But in my heart, in my mind, it was. But then I had to really just press into God, because, you know, I know I carry a father's anointing. I know I carry a father's heart. I love kids. I love to impart into younger people. But the enemy tried to steal that, because he knew, you know, that if he could destroy that in me, that there would be less young people that would be impacted and ministered to. You know, and I honestly, when I see that, you know, I walk into church and I see the kids and stuff, all your kids, I love them all. And you know, I was watching Juliet this morning, and you know, she's up here worshiping with her mom, and she turns and she's like, "Where's my dad?" So she goes running back, and she's like, "Dad," and she drags him up, and you know, but it just really touched my heart that she was experiencing something that she really loved to do, but she wanted her daddy to be a part of it. You know, and Jason, I want to tell you, I sat there this morning and I cried. I was watching that. And I really hear God saying that, as a father, you've hit the mark. And for a lot of a lot of friends around you, you've even raised the bar, because they're watching you as a dad and they're like, you know what? Jason's a way better dad than I am. And I really believe that God is using you and the anointing that he's placed on your life to be a dad, to minister to people. And you don't even have to say anything. They're just watching what you're doing. So God is saying, you know, he's just honored you this morning for that. So where was I? You know, and when we fight through things, and we get out the other side, the victory is always greater. Because, you know, if we just walked through life and we had nothing, no resistance, no nothing, I mean, what would be I like confrontation more than most people probably, but I do. I remember one time I was actually at a tire shop getting my tire fixed on my truck. So, I mean, talking to the guy that owns the shop, and I come out, and there's another guy sitting in my truck. I'm like, oh, there's going to be a fight tonight. So I went over. I'm like, "What are you doing?" "Well, I was going to move it." I said, "Are you crazy? You don't get in another man's truck." And so I'm pretty upset. So I get in the truck, and just as I get in the truck, Julia calls me, my daughter. And she could tell. She's like, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Baby girl, I came out of the tire shop, and there's somebody sitting in my truck." She's like, "Daddy, you didn't hurt him, did you?" I said, "No, baby girl, I didn't. I kept my hands in my pockets, and I just told him he better run." And she said, "Oh, good, that's good. You're growing up, Dad." Because I got to tell you this story. This was funny. It's got nothing to do with what I'm preaching about, but this is a funny story. I was driving to Leamington one time. I had DJ with me. He was playing hockey, so he's about 7 or 8. So I'm riding, and the traffic stopped on Highway 3. I'm like, "What is going on here?" So Erica's like, "Are you telling this story?" "Yes, I'm telling the story." And so the traffic has stopped both ways, and there's this migrant worker. He's a Mexican guy, and he's riding his bike down the road, and he's drunk. I'm like, "This guy's drunk," and, you know, the cars had to stop because, you know, so they wouldn't hit him and stuff. So finally I get up right in front, and he runs into my car. I'm like, "Oh, that's it." I put it in park, and I got out, and he's seen me coming, and he's trying to get away. So I reached down, and I grabbed the back tire, and I pulled the bike out from under him, and I threw it out in the ditch. So then I'm going for him, and DJ's in the car yelling, "Dad, don't kill the Mexican. He's drunk." So it was a Pastor Jeff anointing. So I just grabbed him and threw him out in the ditch and went to hockey practice. I didn't realize DJ's whole team was behind me. I had no idea. So... But it was, yeah. So that guy's dead now. And, not the Mexican. No, we didn't kill the Mexican. He was drunk. We just threw him in the ditch. I laid hands on him. He was fine. So, So, you know, it when we fight through things, I don't even know where I'm at. When my old man is dead. That's it. That's right. The old man is dead. Whew. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. So when we face things that, Pastor Gary's shaking her head, this is not spiritual at all. Oh, man. When we face things that, you know, weren't planned or, you know, things come at us and, you know, sometimes we come into battles that we didn't plan on, that it wasn't anything that we did. It's just stuff that happens. And, you know, if you go into Joshua 2, is it Joshua 2? Yes. No. Maybe it is. I don't, hold on a second. I'll go check. Don't go there until I tell you. Joshua 2. No, it's not. Second Chronicles. There we go. I'll never find that in there. I'll find it on here. Second Chronicles, I believe it's 20. So, anyways, we'll do it from memory. It won't take very long. They go to King Jehoshaphat, and they tell him that there's an army coming. They're almost here. They're coming up from behind. So King Jehoshaphat had, so they're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So right away, the Bible says that he went to God. You know, he didn't have time to call a board meeting, or the Bible says that he went to God. First thing he did was go to God. And then I got to find it because I got to read 2015. I am so glad we've got more spiritual people than me here, because there we go. So then Jehoshaphat says, listen, all you people of Judea. Is that where I want to start? Yes. Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march out against them, and you will find them coming up through ascent of Aziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. And, you know, I really believe that that's where we have fights, we have things we have to go through, but we don't always have to fight it. You know what I mean? We have to, if we get to a place where we're giving it to God, let him fight it. He's going to win. I really believe that God is saying to a lot of us, let me have my fight back. Yeah. You know, why are you wearing yourself out fighting for something that you don't have to fight for? And if you just give it to me, I'll fight it for you. Amen? Because lots of times, I mean, you know, how many times have we been in something and you feel like you've just been beat down and you're tired and you, but if we just give it to God, we don't even have to fight it anymore. With that thing with DJ, I was so upset. I prayed. I talked to Erica and I called Jay and different things. And then I said, all right, I got in this truck and as I'm driving, I'm worshiping. And that was just before Easter. And we hadn't talked for months. He'd left here when he left here, and there was all this stuff that happened. And so Easter Sunday, I'm sitting, and I don't know if you remember Easter Sunday, God gave me a word, and I prophesied that God would start putting miracles in our lives over the next 50 days. So Easter Sunday, I'm sitting at my brother-in-law's house having lunch, and my phone rings. I look, and it's DJ. So I answer the phone. As soon as I answer the phone, he says, Dad, can I tell you something? I said, you tell me anything, son. He said, Dad, I know when I left Ontario, it wasn't your fault. He said, I didn't want to listen. And he said, Dad, he said, I know I'm not living right. He said, but I haven't forgot. And I said, I know. And, you know, we talked a little bit, and I went to hang up, and he said, Dad. I said, what? I hadn't heard it in months. He said, Dad. I said, what? He said, I love you. So here I am, just tears falling in my turkey. But you know what? I watched God bring a promise that he gave to me 2 hours before. I watched it fulfilled within a couple hours. And God returned my son. I mean, he's never stopped being my son, but he returned him in his heart to me. You know, and you know, thinking about it, I can't imagine how our Heavenly Father feels when one of his kids aren't connected in their hearts. How much he must long for us and miss us and say, why aren't you just listening? You know, but we get to that place where we believe the lies that are coming against us and coming against our minds, and we step out from that covering of where God wants us to be. But if we step into the truth of it, of who he is and who he wants us to be and who he is in our lives, I mean, it's a lot better and it's a lot easier path than we can do on our own. Trust me, I made a huge mess when I tried doing it on my own. But God brings us to a place, you know, where we don't have to worry about our enemies anymore. Now it's Joshua 2, where the spies go in and Rahab hides the spies, the prostitute. And then the king found out and told her, he says, I want you to bring them in. And she's like, well, they've gone. They left before the gates of the city closed, so they're gone. So everything that she just told the king was a lie, and she was a prostitute. So God used a lying prostitute to fulfill a promise that he'd given to Moses 40 years ago. God will use anybody, and he can use anybody. And not only did he use her for that, she was in the lineage of Jesus. So Jesus came through the lineage line of a prostitute. And then in James 2, I think it was, he said that now she's righteous. So she's not in heaven, you know, when Jesus needs to talk to her. He doesn't yell through heaven, hey, Rahab the prostitute, can you come over here? Now she's Rahab the righteous. Because when we come into a place where God has made us right, we don't have to identify by who we were. We identify by who he is in us. Amen? You know, just because I did it doesn't mean I am it. And I don't have to post it to prove it. You know what I mean? I am who I am in Christ because he's made me that way. And, you know, we can't forget about where we came from, because if we do, we won't remember how not to go back there. So you kind of have to remember where you were, but you don't have to live in that. You know, like I know where I come from out of drugs. So I know there's places that I can't go to and I'm not going to hang out because it'd just be stupid for me. But I know if God sends me in there to minister, for one, he's going to send me in there with accountability, and he's going to send me in there with a strength that it can't get to me anymore. But I'm not going to go unless it's a covering and I'm ordered from God to do it. Amen? It's, you know, people, places, and things are things that we teach. Everything's got to change, so you can't go back to what you came out of, or you're going to go back to who you were, you know. And, you know, so, but when these guys, when Rahab hid these guys, she said to him, she says, we know that God's already given you this land. And she said, when we heard about you, that God dried up the Red Sea for you to walk across there, and then we've seen what you've done to that other two kings. She said, our hearts melted in fear. But they, 40 years ago, said, we're just grasshoppers in their sight as we see it. Is it possible that the enemy knows how much stronger you are than you do? And they were running from something that feared them for 40 years, and missed out on the promise. A lot of them died in the wilderness, running for something that was afraid of them. You know, that doesn't even make sense. The enemy is afraid of us, because the Bible says that the same spirit that's in me is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Now, he tried to kill Jesus, but he couldn't keep him there. And the only reason he was able to, because Jesus gave himself up. So unless we give ourselves up, the devil has no power, no authority in our lives to do anything unless we give it to him. But we can take back that power by walking in the fullness of our surety of who we are in Christ. Knowing where God has placed us is where we're supposed to be at the moment. And you know, speaking of that, Jay, God just reminded me of something that Pastor Jeff said to you when we were up here. He said that you're a man among men and a champion among champions. And I hear God saying today that you're in the place you're supposed to be for this hour and this day. And God says, I've ordained you and I've placed you, and no man could take that from you. Nobody. And no devil either. And Krista, you're there right with him. I mean, we have awesome pastors. We do. Jay and Krista are amazing. She's not pastor by title yet, but she's pastor by heart. She is who she is. And she's looking at me and saying, Dorman, shut up, go away. And you know what? I'm not doing that. I'm going to keep going. Because no, I won't. But you know what? We love you guys. We really do. But the enemy will try and steal that word that God's put in our heart and make us doubt it, so that when somebody asks us to do something in our calling, I don't know if I'm good enough. You know, I love listening to Erica preach. I love it. I am so proud of my wife. Because when we first got married, she did not like standing up. I mean, she doesn't live for it now to stand in front of people, but she was very, very shy, very quiet. It was an awesome few years that was, but... but I am. Can I go to your house for lunch, Pastor Claude, please? But I got my bike here. I'm okay. But no, you know what? I'm so proud of where God's brought her, because I watch her, and you know, I watch her how when she's ministering, there's no doubt in what she's saying. She knows it. It's in her heart. She's lived it. She lives it every day. As far as I'm concerned, she's about 99.9999% perfect. That's just, I mean, I'm married, way up. Dad actually said to me on my wedding day, he says, I don't know how you did it, but I'm proud of you. My own father. Yeah. But he was so right. Pastor Claude, you thought that the first time you met her, didn't you? But you know, when we have that assurity of who we are in God, like Jesus did, when God said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased," he knew it. The enemy couldn't take it from him, and he was able to step into his ministry. Well, his mom actually kind of pushed him into a little bit. You know, she's like, "They run out of wine," and he's like, "Woman, see, it's spiritual, it's scripture." Erica loves it when I call her woman. She does, because it's scripture. We're just, I told her she should be like Sarah and call me Lord, but she won't do it. But I know. I got to work tonight, so. She is actually, honestly, the most amazing gift besides Holy Spirit that God has ever given me. And like you said, you know, who's going to calm them down and rein them back, because she's in my ear. I mean, it's amazing how Holy Spirit sounds like Erica most of the time. And but, you know, the truth is that we're all called by God for something. Not everybody's supposed to be in the fivefold. Not everybody's supposed to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, or pastor. If you're not called to it, you don't want it. I am so glad my younger brother got called to be the pastor and not me. I'm glad. And the people that go to church there probably are too. But I am so glad that that's, because that's not my calling. But we have pastors that are amazing at it. They have a heart for it. You know, me and Jay talk almost daily. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something that he told me. His greatest desire is for everybody here to get it and live it. And I mean, you know, unless you're in the inner circle, Nini, really, I just really want you to understand how much our pastors love us. Because he spends hours in prayer for you guys. So we need to spend hours in prayer covering him so that he can come in here and do what he needs to do so that we're not whining for the rest of the week and tying up the telephone lines and, you know, I won't go there. Never mind, leave that alone. But you know, it's just, he knows and he believes what God said to him. What God's put in his heart, he's walking it out and he's living it daily. See, the Bible says that the truth that you know will set you free, right? So the Bible says that Jesus was truth. So if we know Jesus, he can set us free. But we have to know it. And the way you know it is you do it. It's not that you can quote it. It's not that you've memorized it. It's that we do it. Amen? So when we do the truth sets us free. You know, when I was hooked on drugs and everything else, I had to do what people were telling me to do, what the counselors were telling me to do, what God was showing me to do. I had to walk away from things. And I had Pastor Johnny in my life. And everybody used to say he was such a gentle prophet. I didn't experience that. But I knew it was love. I'll never forget, I was standing right there. I'd just come in from a crack house that morning. I hadn't slept in 5 days. And he was walking past here, and I used to do that. Hey! I love that. He put his hand on my chest, and he said, DJ will surely grow up and say my dad is a man of God. I just come out of crack house that morning. I'm like, this guy's so far off, it's not even funny. But I was in a place where God could reach me. And God placed me around pastors and teachers and my dad and my parents. And then, you know, they brought me to that place in recovery. And I started believing who I was and not who the enemy said I was. Because I'm not a drug addict anymore. I'm free. I'm free. And you know what? When I was in Indiana right after that, Pastor Jeff said, you know, he told the church to pray for me and stuff. He says, but Dorman's going to go back, and he's going to be a forerunner of what God's going to do in his area. And, you know, and I mean, this is not about me. This is about God, because I went to the Salvation Army, and I got, you know, went through the program and got set free, and we started bringing people to Wheatley. And I think in a year and a half, what was it, like over 300 drug addicts that we led to the Lord. We baptized like 70 of them. And, you know, just that little church in Wheatley, and, you know, they'd go down, and we'd bring some of the guys down, and then they'd, you know, some of the ladies would cook dinner for them, and then they'd go back to the rehab and say, why didn't you guys come with us? Well, we don't want to go to church. And the one I overheard the one guy, and he said, Dorman's mom is there. He said, if you need a hug from a mom, he says, she loves giving us hugs. And he says, she loves us. And you know what? The next week, the more would go. And they would go down, and they would love on them. And I mean, you talk about a mess. You think I'm bad when I get a mic. You should hear some of these guys. I mean, one guy, dad prayed for his ear. He was deaf in one ear. And there was some religious people there. And so dad prayed for him, and his ear popped open, and he turns around, and he drops an F-bomb right there. Holy! And he's talking to his buddy in the back. You wouldn't believe what just effing happened. It's effing amazing. And mom's on the floor. Dad's laid out the other way laughing. I mean, it's just, and there's some religious people going, they just swore in church. But they don't know how to do it any other way. You know, you don't catch fish in a fish plant. You got to go catch them in the water and bring them in to get them cleaned. And they were just being who they were. But once the truth came in, they would start changing little bits at a time. You know, I never forget, Dad's standing outside the church one time, and there's probably about 15 of them standing there. I mean, they're pretty rough-looking characters, not like me, but they're all rough-looking characters. And this cop rolls up. He just kind of slowly drives by. And so then he comes back and he rolls by again. And the third time, Dad kind of steps out of the crowd. And Dad's a police chaplain, so he knows all the cops in Chatham, Kent. And he steps up and he goes, "Oh, Pastor Dorman, are you okay?" Dad says, "Yeah, we're just hanging out here talking." He's like, "Oh, okay. I'll be around, don't worry." I used to love watching my dad in with those guys, because they would just be who they are. You know, he didn't expect them to change just because he was there. And you know what? After a while, they would start, because they would see how he acted. So then they would want to be more like Pastor Dorman, Senior Pastor Dorman, Senior. And after a while, you would see a big difference in them. And I mean, now there's some guys that are, one of the guys that got saved at the church, he goes up with, is it Dave Elliott? Yeah. That goes to the north. He travels with him every time, back and forth. He's with him. He's like his right-hand man. Oh, yeah, he's there all the time. So, I mean, we don't know where they are, but seeds were sown, you know. And Pastor Judy and Jill will tell you that you witness to people, sometimes you don't know where the seed's going to go, but you just leave it with God and believe for the harvest. And if somebody else gets the harvest, great, as long as Jesus gets the glory. Amen? So, really. Man, oh man. Everything I just said, forget it. So this morning, I really believe that, you know, when we get in the Word and we just hear what God says about us and who we are, I just want you this morning to just really grab a hold of that. Because, you know, people are going to put us down and discourage us, and lots of times they don't even know that they're doing it. They're just being people. But really just dive in and see what God's got to say about us and who we are. You know, we're created in His likeness and His image. He doesn't make mistakes. There's a worship song Hannah showed me the other day. It's called He doesn't Make Mistakes, So He Didn't Start With Me, is the chorus. And I mean, I love it, you know. And I watched her as she's showing me this song, and I'm seeing it start to take root in her. Because I mean, you've all seen how beautiful my girls are, but there's times I'll look at Hannah, I'll tell her, "You're so pretty," and she's like, "No." So yeah, you have no idea. But it's starting to take root now in her heart. And you know what? I got to say this publicly. Abby, you're a lot of the reason. Abby's come and picked her up, spent time with her, and poured into her, and loved on her. And Hannah absolutely adores her. They love her so much. But she's been an amazing example of what a godly young woman should be. And I want to thank you for that, Abby. We love you. So I guess I'm going to leave you with that. I didn't make too much trouble, see? Nothing to it. But he's probably going to call me tomorrow. Yeah. So I just want to bless you with that this morning, and thank you for allowing me to be here and minister. And this is, pray over everyone. All right. Father, I just want to seal what you've said this morning. And Father, I speak into the identity of everybody under the sound of my voice, of who they are as a daughter, as a son, and in your family. God, you said that you've grafted us in. We're not stepkids, we're blood relatives. So, Father, this morning, I just speak to the identity of everybody here. And, Father, I just speak and say that I just break off every negative word, every negative thought that the enemy would try and put in their hearts and their minds to take them from who you are in their lives, in our lives. So, Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for being a good, good father, a loving father, a patient father. Father, I thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.